Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
We're here on Cowboy Church, and we just want to welcome you.
You mean a lot to us. Seriously,
yeah.
We do a lot of work to make this thing happen. It's not like it's hard work, but it's fun work. It takes a long time to put these together, and it's really meaningful to us when we hear from you on the difference that it makes. We really don't have any idea unless you get back to us. And so we're excited today. We put a program together for you. We've got some singing, preaching, the testimonies, and all the regular kind of things, and probably some good scenery and maybe even a windmill song or something. We're glad to be with you at Cowboy Church today, so we won't take any more time. Right. We'll jump into it. How's
Sit
that?
Sit back, relax. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Now Jesus is turning the windmills. He's turning them out on the plains. When Jesus is pumping the water, you'll never be thirsty again. A lady rode up to the windmill. Her heart was heavy and sad, and sin had been her companion, and much of her life had been bad. At noontime, a stranger came riding up to the windmill that day. Not turning, the wind is silent and still, and there will be no more water until the wind turns the wheel. I can give you some water, dear lady, and you'll never be thirsty again. It'll wash your life of all sin. Now the men in your life have brought sorrow, and the shame it shows on your face. She knew then that she'd met the Master, and walked now under His grace. Sins washed whiter than snow, and she wanted to tell all the people from whom all her blessings would flow. She told them that she had met Jesus out on the plains that day,
that song, because it reminds me of how Jesus works in us in our spiritual life, just like a windmill produces water, that we're supposed to produce those fruits that will bless other people in our life. And that was my first try at a Western song. On this album, I put three songs together. One was that you probably really won't care for, but it's called The Everlasting Hills of Oklahoma. Did y'all even know that we have hills in Oklahoma? Anybody ever been in the hills of Oklahoma? Well, when I was little, we used to say, well, let's go up in the mountains and look around. Well, we found out really quick when we got to go into Colorado and Montana that we really didn't have mountains. But my daddy always said that if you tried to build a mile of fence on those hills, you'd think they were a mountain. They're really, really rugged. We've got a lot of rocks and trees, rattlesnakes, and all those kind of things that make it really, really interesting to live around there. Ticks and chiggers and things like that. The other one is Don't Fence Me In. I don't know about y'all, but I love these legendary songs. They're songs of lots of Western heritage. So I'd like to sing these songs for you.
The everlasting hills of Oklahoma, they hold a million treasures to be found. Gold and grain on hills of green, wave to valleys cool and clean. Too bad some folks have never seen the everlasting hills of Oklahoma. The everlasting tales of Oklahoma are told of clouded statues in the sky, pioneers who long have gone, their wagon wheels still rumble on when thunder peals and falls upon the everlasting hills of Oklahoma.
Y'all like to have a little land under your feet? Huh? Listen to this song.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me straddle my own saddle underneath the western skies. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
I figured some of these dancing Baptists would be out there right now, wouldn't you, Pastor? Thinking about it, ain't you?
I wanna ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
My sister Reba recorded this a few years ago, and they never would put it out as a single. I love this song. Yep, y'all can go to tapping your foot.
Preacher been talking about the end of times. Lord knows I'm ready, it don't worry my mind. You see, I ain't afraid of nothing. Angels watching over me. You can
take my possessions.
You can
take all my gold.
Nobody
but Jesus gonna take my soul. Y'all stand up with me for a little bit. You've been sitting there for a little while. I want you to turn around to at least two people. Give them a handshake. Tell them you're glad they're here, would you? Walk through darkness. I don't need no light. My faith in Jesus gonna be my guide. You see, I ain't afraid of nothing because I believe I got a sky full of angels watching over me.
Now you can
take me for granted.
You can
take all my gold.
Nobody
but Jesus gonna take my soul. Now turn around and see if there's anybody you don't know. Tell them your name, would you? Take my possessions.
You can
take all my gold.
Nobody
but Jesus gonna take my soul. I ain't afraid of nothing because I believe I got a sky full of angels watching over me.
You can take me for granted. You can take all my gold.
I got a sky full of angels watching over me.
I've got a message called Run Like That and Fight Like That, and it's taken, starts out in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, and this is out of the Messianic Bible, the WMB is what they call it. If you have it on your cell phones, it's one of the apps that comes with one of the Bible programs I have. It says this in verse 24, "Don't you know that all those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run like that, that you may win." If you want scripture basis for not giving trophies to everybody, there it is. It says, "Run like that, that you may win. Every man who strives in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run like that, not aimlessly. I fight like that, not beating the air, but I beat my body and bring it into submission, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." A couple of other scriptures that go with this, just to help balance everything out. Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 through 13 is one of the favorite passages that we have. And it's God speaking to Jeremiah. He says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Another one in Jeremiah, in the first chapter, verse 5. God says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." It speaks of God's desire for us to understand that we are unique. You're well thought out. I know some of you wish God had changed a few things about you. And some of you need to realize that God did a marvelous work in building you and creating you, but God has more than just
the obvious what it looks like. There's a participation factor. There's a just to make it really simple, there's a premise that the scripture is based on. The premise is this, that what God has planned for your life is as unique as who you are to everybody else. We all know now that with just a piece of skin or a drop of blood, they can, or maybe several drops of blood, just a little bit, they now can identify who you are, and they can identify who your parents are, they can identify where you came from, and they can determine all kinds of things by one little drop of DNA because you are that unique. And if you look around this morning, we identify each other by the face that we have. And some people don't like that identity. They've gone to changing their face around and trying to reconfigure who they are by their outside identity. But the truth of the matter is you're a unique person. God created you with a unique set of skills and talents and abilities. And our goal in life is to take this mentality of run like that, fight like that, and find out who we are and why in the world God created us like this. See, the thing is not to go in and just absolutely change everything. However, there are changes that have to be made. So I want to take that premise and build on it just a little bit. So I need to pray about it before we get started. Our Heavenly Father, today, help us to understand exactly how unique we are. Lord, I know we'll never understand all of that, but help us to understand the part that gives us reason for joy, that gives us reason for participation, it gives us reason for diving in and doing and staying connected. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand what your will for us is. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of things. We're going to break this down in just a little bit. If you're going to find out who you are, taking the role of run like that, fight like that, and I really don't know of any two things that are more taxing than running and fighting. I looked and I thought, well, I'm going to learn a little more about fighting. And I discovered that most fights last less than 15 seconds. And there's a reason for that, is such exertion in it. Now, when Paul says run like that and fight like that, I really liked sprint races better than I did long distance ones. But I wasn't fast enough to be in those. So because I wasn't fast enough to be in those, I had to run a little longer races. I ran a quarter of a mile. Now, that's a stupid thing to do if you don't like to run long distances, to run a quarter of a mile, because that's the one that tries to kill you. You try to sprint for a longer period of time, and it takes a lot of exertion. And I remember the first few times that I exerted like that, the next thing that happened is there was another exertion that went with it. It was, I was over behind the bleachers trying to throw up where nobody could see me. It's just a miserable experience. But as a kid, you know, you're trying to win something. My dad, and I love my dad. My dad was a great pastor. But what you don't know about him is when he was a kid, he used to fight golden gloves, boxing. He won second in Colorado in his weight division. If you remember, his thumb was really crooked. Those of you who knew him, he had a crooked thumb. And the reason that thumb was crooked is in the final round, he hit a guy in the chin with his thumb and it broke his thumb, and he lost the fight on points. And he forever had a trophy, a second place trophy on his thumb, yeah. And it affected him in such a negative way that he was so competitive. He was a tremendous man of God, a tremendous pastor, but he was a dirty fighter. I have his boxing gloves in my little saddle shop. I have three of the four that came in a set, and I was going to bring them this morning. I apologize, I didn't bring them. They were the big, you know, the big ones that are this big around. And we used to box often with my dad. And he had some principles to his boxing. He says, if you're going to fight, you're only fighting for one reason. That's to beat the other guy up and win. And so he says, there's not a lot of rules. And you need to take advantage of everything you can, because the key thing is to win. Now, what he would do, he would start out by trying to get inside you. And what I mean by that, he'd get his hands inside your hands, because if your hands are out here, it's hard to throw a good punch from out here. So he would get inside you like this. And then when he opened it up, then he'd just peck at you. You know, well, he could hurt you, but I was his kid. He would just peck at me. You know, just hold me out, get inside and peck at me. And then when I got tired of that, I tried to get my hands back in. Then what he would do is he would wrap his left hand over my arms right across here, and he'd just pull it down while my hand would do this, and he would just do that. I said, Dad, you can't do that. And he goes, I just did. There were times we would be boxing, he'd step up into us, and he'd step on our toe and push us. And you know, you have to come back to him, he'd hit you. It's just dirty. He knew all of those dirty things. I mean, he was just that, he hated to lose. So when the Bible says, fight like that, run like that, You fight, you run for one reason. It's to win. He was so competitive. One of the things he used to say, and I know you're not supposed to say this about a preacher, but his legacy is already over there. He's got his own room named after him now, so you might as well know the truth about him. He used to tell us, go cheat, win. He says, now I don't want to expect you to cheat, but you do everything but that. The first time that we were able to drive and go to our own rodeo, drive in our truck, my brother and I in the truck together to go to the rodeo, he came out to pray for us. He prayed for us, and when he got done, he said this, if you don't win, don't come home. We weren't certain but what he may have meant it. Because all of my life, Dad demonstrated that he hates to lose. When the Bible talks to me about why do we fight, why do we run, we fight and we run to win. Now, what are we winning? Now, everybody's the same, but everybody's different. You need to understand this. Everybody's the same. We want to get to heaven. We want to walk in having completed the course that God's laid out for us to do individually. And each one of us is, our course is as unique as our faces. So our job is to have completed that course to the best of our ability. We're in competition with only ourselves to see what we can make out of ourselves according to what God's plan is. I don't think I'm going to be judged according to what Billy Graham did because I'm in the ministry. You see what I'm saying? But I will be judged at how I approach it.
Thank you for your support for Cowboy Church. It's been wonderful to see the financial support come in. Because of you, we can stay on the air. You can write to us at the address shown on your screen right now. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church. Mm-hmm.